Simply the Gospel is a Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. Hello, this is Jim Pursley thanking you for taking the time to listen to our audio devotional sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. This audio devotional sermon is supplemental to our downloadable Matthew study found on our website at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. Please visit our website for this and other useful resources. You are listening to Lesson 13 from Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 31, Mission, Risks, and Rewards. In this passage, we are drawn into the very moment when on the shores of Galilee, Jesus prepared his disciples for going on their first missionary journey without him. In his commentary, Frederick Bruner notes three aspects of his preparation of the disciples to go and experience success on their mission. First, in chapter 10, verses 5 through 15, Bruner notes that Jesus gives the disciples very important travel instructions. Second, in verses 16 through 25, Bruner identifies Jesus' very specific trouble instructions. And third, in verses 26 through 31, he draws from the text Jesus' heart for his disciples as he gives them very clear trust instructions. Oh, how marvelous is the matchless grace of our great Savior King Jesus. He prepared them to go. He prepared them with the message. He prepared them for success. But he never once candy-coated the risks of the mission. In verses 5 and 6, Jesus gives them their travel instructions. His instructions to them were not as detailed as, say, MapQuest would be to us, but they were sufficient for the journey. Don't we like to know where we're to go and when we get there, what we're to do and how we're to do it? Of course we do. Well, Jesus' instructions were like that. First, he tells them where not to go. Don't go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans, Jesus told them. I think this is very helpful for us. We are prone to wander along the way, aren't we? It's like children sent to the grocery store to purchase flour for mother. She knows that her children will be passing by the candy aisle, so she turns them away from the temptation to wander down that candy aisle by warning them, don't go down the candy aisle. The point of Jesus is clear. He's telling them, stay away from the Samaritans. Now's not the time. Well, why not go to the Gentiles? As you may know, in that time, the Jews did not associate with the Gentiles at all. They were despicable to them. So perhaps the candy aisle illustration isn't very accurate, but undoubtedly, as the Gentiles would hear the message, they would want to hear more. The prophets had promised Israel that they would have Messiah come. Messiah would come to Israel, not to the Gentiles at this point in time, but salvation would come to the Gentiles eventually through the message of Jesus Christ. So Jesus told them, don't go, because this was the time for Israel to hear. This was the day of salvation for them. Of course, I believe that there will be a great turning to the Lord Jesus from national Israel one day, before the second coming of Christ. Well, the prophets promised Israel that Messiah would come to them first, and indeed now the king had come. He was among them. Now was their time to hear the message and receive Jesus as the Savior King. It's the same for people today. We can honestly say, today is the day of salvation. For everyone that we meet, everyone that we come in contact with, that we take the time to minister the gospel, we can say to them, today is the day of salvation. Hear and receive Jesus as your Savior King. Well, for the 12 disciples, Israel and the Jewish people were their mission field. The time for the Gentiles to hear the message of the Savior King would come after Jesus' ascension. when he sent out the church into the world. But sadly for Israel, they refused to believe. But the Gentiles would believe. In Romans 11:14, Paul explains that the reception of the gospel by the Gentiles would arouse the Jews to envy and save some of them. God has not forgotten Israel. Take heart. God has not forgotten Israel. In chapter 10, verses 6 through 15, Jesus instructs these disciples on how they're to do the mission to which they were being sent. First, he tells them to do the ministry with simplicity. It's so tempting to want to build up to a grand scale everything that we do. But Jesus made it so plain and so simple. He told them to preach. Preach the good news. Heal. Cleanse. Drive out demons. It's that simple. He sent them out with empty pockets. They weren't going to be able to buy ministry supplies. They had simple things to give, which are the most profound things. God works through preaching. And through signs and wonders, people were drawn to the fact that it was in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, that they were healed, that they might know Messiah had come, just as had been prophesied and promised throughout the Old Testament. I think of Isaiah 35. I think of Isaiah 61, for instance. It's great passages which speak about that which would indicate Messiah had come, the great miraculous signs. You see, he sent them out with empty pockets that they would not be able to rely on themselves, but only God. God can still do mighty things with nothing. After all, he created all things from nothing. As Richard Wurmbrand said in a great message of his, The Beauty of Nothing, he said, nothing is the best material God has to work with. And so it is in your life and mine. You don't need everything to do ministry. You need nothing to do the ministry. Simply through preaching or teaching or proclaiming the gospel is how the Spirit plants the imperishable seed in the heart of whoever he chooses to reveal himself. Secondly, Jesus told them what to do or how to do it. In verses 11 through 15, he tells them not to fight or argue with people, or don't become offended when people reject the message. It's real easy to want to go toe-to-toe with people that refuse to believe. And we want to argue with them. Or we become offended and we talk to our friends and say, all those people, they just reject the message. Jesus said, don't even waste your time arguing amongst yourselves about this. Simply move on. Jesus wanted them to make the most of the time they had. Because the time that we have is precious. So often we waste our time by arguing, bickering back and forth, having hurt feelings. Jesus said, move on. And this is very simple and very helpful for us. I can't underscore it enough, especially when we think of how we spend our time. Oh, that we were spending our time arguing with people about the gospel. How do you spend your time? How could you redeem the time to be more useful for God? Well, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 25, Jesus provided his disciples with trouble instructions. And as we look at this section, consider how great and how loving is Jesus, our Savior King, that he makes clear both the risks and the rewards associated with the task that he calls us to do. We can be thankful for this. It's good and loving of leaders to prepare those who sign up, so to speak, for ministry, to prepare them for trouble. We live in a day of everything's positive, everything's good. You can ask someone who's really going through a struggle, how you doing this? It's all good. It's all good. Friends, for the Christian, it is all good. But we have to understand trouble does hurt. hurt your feelings. It can cause you to be reserved in your zeal. It can even hurt physically. I would give an example from my own life that pastors who go into the ministry without an inkling of the trials they will face will probably leave the ministry in a few short years. The pain of pastoring can be very great. You find out that you're not everyone's best friend. It's real easy to think that you become the man, the center of attention. But the fact is, God calls you to be a pastor and a shepherd, to watch the sheep, to watch over the flock. And as someone wisely told me one time after a very painful experience, they said, "Remember, Jim, sheep bite." But you know what? Jesus gives us plenty of indication that there will be trouble, but he gives us instructions as to how we can survive, not just survive, but thrive with joy through trouble. And I'd say this, whatever ministry, or that is, the word ministry means service, whatever ministry or service to others, that perhaps your husband or your wife or your children, your church, whatever it would be, you can know this. You will have trouble, but you can expect great reward. When Jesus spoke plainly of the risks, he said the very nature of their calling, that is to preach the good news, to heal, to cleanse, to drive out demons, would result in persecution, imprisonment, and trials of different kinds. But consider the indescribable reward promised to those who would persevere in faithfulness. He promises two great rewards. In 10:22, he promises a full and complete salvation. Look at that verse, 10:22. "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." And this promise of a full and complete salvation counts for us too. When our service is complete, all the troubles and trials will be over. There will be peace and joy and love in his glorious presence forever and ever. Now, the second promise is linked to the first, and one in which most Christians should look forward to. He promises in verse 23 that he is coming again. Verse 23, "When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes again." He is coming again. Now finally, in verses 26 through 31, Jesus calls them to receive his trust instructions. I think of that passage in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." It is absolutely essential that we grasp this glorious truth that runs through the entire scripture, and that is simply trust in God. We must learn, as the great song says, to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word. I'm referencing that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Why? Because if we don't, when trouble and trials come, we will be tempted to quit. That has been true for any servant, whoever they were. If we don't trust him, when troubles come, we'll be tempted to quit. Many of you may have quit already. Did you know that to simply trust him is the first step in repentance for the Christian? Would you tell him now, "Lord Jesus, I've not trusted you as I should and I've quit, but I trust you now." He will help you. He will give you strength. He promises his involvement with you in every trial and every trouble, especially when we suffer because of the gospel. Too many of us suffer because we invest our time in such meaningless things, and they don't go as we want them to go. But if you suffer because of the gospel, and for Christ's sake, Jesus promises his involvement with you. In this passage, we learn that as our Savior King sees every hair on your head that falls to the ground, he sees it. This is about his providence. Jesus rules over every event in your life through his providential rule. This means that he's intimately familiar with our troubles. He will cause the troubles to turn out for our benefit and for our reward if we're faithful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 is one of the most beautiful, helpful verses, I think, in all the scripture when it comes to suffering. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving or working for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, that far outweighs the trial, that far outweighs the suffering. Trouble works for us. Works for us. And this is good news. Well, let me ask you, can you trust him when your wants are many? Will you trust him when your soul feels lean? Learn to trust him and believe that he is able to keep you. It is risky, this mission, but the reward is Christ himself. Christ, your Savior, King. Trust him. Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. Until next time, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you.